As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook.
Welcome, my brother. It's Office Hours edition. Of course, it's the celebrity entrepreneur with the only celebrity entrepreneur I know today, James Maslow, my partner in crime at the New Year's Eve edition. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, my dude? I was just bouncing to our intro music, which we're working on. But dude, New Year's Eve, what a day to see one of my favorite people, my best mentor, and my partner in Celebrity Entrepreneur. It's good to see you, brother.
It's so great to see you. I want to start before we bring our amazing guest on. And it's funny because New Year's Eve, there's so many people are concerned about resolution, big changes, 2025. And one of the greatest lessons of 2024 that I had is that just because it works for me, because, you know, I mentor a lot of people beyond you, but
sure,
I mentor a lot of people. And I really started to delve into what's good for me isn't necessarily good for everyone. Just because things are working so well for me in the consistent, persistent pursuit genre, enjoying each day and using the New Year's Eve as a milestone of analysis, and that's it. No major changes. I just use these different celebrations as a milestone of analysis quantitatively. That's not good for everyone. So I have two quick questions before we bring our amazing guest on. One, you know, what is your mindset about New Year's resolutions and big changes for the next year? And two, is there anything that you do that you feel is not, it works for you, but it probably doesn't work for many other people?
Both great questions. You know, I've been thinking a lot about the New Year's resolution, and for the first time ever, I'm not giving myself some staunch difference that I'm going to do tomorrow that I'm not doing today, which is giving me a big breath of fresh air. I think that's something that maybe we've all, I know I certainly have gone wrong with in thinking, well, this year I'm going to make all of these radical changes. In fact, I'm proud of a lot of the little micro changes I've made this last year. And so instead of a big massive resolution, I just want to continue with these micro changes, little things to improve every day. And part of that is continuing to take risks, continue to do things that I'm a little bit afraid of. You know, even including jumping on when I asked you, what is it, 6 months ago and said, hey, man, I've really been wanting to do a podcast. Do you have any advice? And you turned to me and go, why don't we do one together? And I kind of like swallowed my tongue and went, sure, with this fear of, am I good enough? Can I fulfill it? Can I do it? So I want to thank you for that. And specifically today, thank you for scheduling a celebrity entrepreneur on New Year's Eve, because it's just another day. And it's another reminder to continue to work towards those goals, whether it's New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, or any other day this next year. And then the second part of that question, something I do that doesn't work for everybody is I've been implementing getting up earlier this last year, you know, getting up at 5 a.m. And recently during the holidays, I've slept in till 7, 8. I'm frankly not as happy doing that. It sounds weird, but I feel like I've missed out on a big chunk of the day that I used to have. So I'm going to go back to doing that for me. But I know that doesn't work for everybody. I have a lot of friends, especially musicians and actors, that are most creative at night, and that's totally fine. Just find what works for you. So
that's the number one thing for me that I was like, die hard Dave on, you gotta wake up at 4 a.m. in order to be successful. And I think number one, the world's changed from 9 to 5, where I believe that if the majority of the world is working 9 to 5, I still would be on my high horse saying you gotta wake up early because you need that time before the 9 to 5. But now that we live in this ubiquitous international world of remote viewing and remote activities, I don't think it matters one bit. But personally, I'm with you. I live my best life between 4 a.m. and 9 a.m. And I love it. All right, brother, let's bring on an amazing guest. Why don't you introduce?
I'm going to jump into the intro because I'm extremely proud to know this fella. He has created an incredible platform for himself. He started just as an athlete, then started making social content, then realized, oh my God, I'm good at this. I'm amazingly in shape, amazing, good at talking about it, and I'm quite charismatic on camera. And he's built up one of the largest, most amazing platforms for fitness and beyond, to the point where he hit me up and said, hey, can I fly out to Nashville and do a review on your gym, Gym, the one we just built? I just am honored to know him. He's an entrepreneur. He's incredible. Jesse James West. Let's bring him on the show.
Welcome.
Let's go.
How was that? Not bad.
That was really good, and I appreciate that.
All right. What did I miss? What did I miss that I needed to have for the next one?
I mean, you forgot the key of the good looks, the handsome jawline, yeah, you know, the hairline is good, all that stuff. But that's, you know, that's whatever.
But they can see that right now. All right. The proof is in the pudding. Do you eat pudding? First hard-hitting question. Do you eat
pudding? I don't think I've eaten pudding since I was 8.
Yeah, same. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Yeah, thank you both. David, great to meet you. James, we had a great time shooting that content. It'll be coming out actually in like this weekend on Sunday on the 5th.
Nice.
Super excited about that. But yeah, just, you know, getting day by day, working hard, doing my thing, filming as often as I can, and just having a good time with it, and just really glad, you know, I can do what I do. Very grateful for, you know, all the opportunities that have come and these, you know, happening right now. So thanks for having me on.
I was super excited, not only because everybody in my office, by the way, I'm amazed anyone's here with me, but they were more excited about you, Jesse, coming on than, you know, we've had thousands of interviews, and everybody's like, and then my kids were excited. Now I somehow accidentally became a 57-year-old influencer. I don't like to spread the flu. I like to get into the flow. And I think that makes the difference in the community that I've built. But I'm amazed personally at one thing about the whole aspect of being an influencer, how much, even at my age and with the ups and downs in my career, how much what people think of me still matters. And every day I'm presented with the challenge of somebody laughing at me, scoffing at me, making fun of me. And yes, it still impacts me. The difference is it only impacts me for minutes and moments. It doesn't ruin my entire day anymore. Both of you guys, I am sure, every day have people laughing, scoffing, and making fun of you. And it's just a few. I put out to 600,000 people an email for the end of the year, a newsletter, like inviting people into my private networking group. One person sent me back an email. Everybody was like, thank you, this is awesome, or didn't respond. But one person said, how dare you, right? You're not the person I thought you were. How dare you try to sell me a private networking and coaching group at the holiday season? And I got to tell you, for minutes and moments, I was like thinking, shit, should I have sent out 600,000 emails, right? Does that influence you as a young man? Because I didn't have the maturity to take it at 57. How are you dealing with it at your age?
I would say, you know, when I first started social media, and as James mentioned, I was an athlete before. I was playing sports in high school and college, and I started dabbling in social media still around sports content. And like, I was playing lacrosse, and as I was trying to become a fitness creator, you know, I was the aspiring creator. I was not a creator yet, sort of just trying out things and seeing what sticks when I throw it at a wall. you know, it was definitely tough hearing a lot of criticism from people that were very close around me. I went to a small high school, so everyone knew everybody. And, you know, when they're chanting things, they're like, for example, this one will always stick with me, and it hurt in the moment, but I'm glad it happened, because I can, you know, now tell the story to an audience that can learn from it with me, is where we had a pep rally and people were like, Jesse James Fitness, and they do that cheer and they clap. And I remember, and that was my Instagram handle. And I remember at the moment I was like, I can either let this really affect me, or I can put my arms up, double flex.
Look at that.
And you know, and just say, bring it on. And you know, I did. And I'm glad I went that route. Naturally, that came to me to be like that. You know, it's still when I went home, I was like, damn, bro, like these people are ruthless. But you know, it's something that has been there since I was like 15, like probably 16 years old. I'm 24 now. So for like 8 years, I've seen it, you know? And every year, like you said, in the beginning, maybe it affects your whole day. And then as time goes on, it's minutes and moments, like you mentioned. And by now, I'm aware, you know, to not read into it too much. And, you know, not that it doesn't affect me, but I don't let it ruin my day, like you said. I think that my message would be to anybody, if you're trying to become an influencer, you're trying to get into business, it's never another entrepreneur that's going to judge you for starting your business and failing. It's never another creator that's going to judge you for putting out your first social media post. It's the people that have never even taken one step on their journey that are the ones judging you. And those opinions aren't the ones that you should be listening to. If I'm starting a business, you're going to be trying to help me, and you're trying to root me on, like, dude, yeah, no, we start and we fail. But you know, it's the people that are outside that realm that have nothing to do with what you're doing are the ones that you're going to hear the most of. And you have to learn to tune them out, because truly their opinions aren't going to help or do anything to you if you listen to them.
I love that. I think that's extremely well said. And you know, to anyone else who is listening and maybe going through this themselves, they are afraid to take that first step towards their dreams, make that first post. You really need to, well, first of all, you're going to have people hate on you all the way, but I promise you, because I've seen this happen time and time again, it's going to be a lot of the same people that then congratulate you when you've made it. Mm-hmm. So just understand they're projecting, like Jesse just said, their own fears about it. But something that I had another friend speak to me about, another mentor in my life, was how do I change or fix that initial reaction and initial emotion? And they said, James, you can't. Don't. You're going to react the way that your body, your mind, your heart, your soul emotionally naturally reacts. That you can't control. But the next step, you can. So let your body feel it. Be upset, be confused, whatever, because you can't affect that. And you get better later on where it doesn't affect you as much initially either. But that's all right to feel that. But then what you can decide afterwards, am I going to be offended by this? Am I going to let this deter me and stop me? Or am I going to be fueled by it? And I used to do things in spite of the haters. And I think maybe part of my maturity is now I still let it fuel me a little bit. Sometimes I see a hateful comment and kind of chuckle and go, all right, you know what? Screw that guy. I'm going to work harder today. But for the most part, I now do things despite it. I do them anyways. It's a part of my routine, part of my habit, part of who I am. And I've built a community, like you said, like you and like David, who encourage me. And those are the people that I listen to. But that was a big change for me, going from in spite to despite.
Love it. Jesse, sorry. I was going to hit both of you. It's funny.
Yeah, two Jameses. If you say James, we're both going to respond.
Yeah, I know.
Life somewhat.
I'm not that bright. It's interesting because the last part of that statement of they laugh at you, scoff at you, make fun of you, is then they applaud you. And that resistance has quite an impact on people's lives. In reaction to fear, so beyond being an influencer, fitness has a great anomaly in it, which is the simple things to do are simple not to do. And my personal superpower is within the context of gratitude. I'll talk about gratitude. I teach it at different levels and layers. But I also have worked in, you know, the world of fitness and sports for a long time, longer than both of you guys have been alive, running, you know, the most notable sports agency and a long time ago, and then having Sports One Marketing with Warren Moon and representing the Hall of Fame and the Clemente family and all these people. It's interesting because billions and billions of dollars are made in fitness. And yet it's really simple when we look at being fit. There's a lot of technology behind it today, but I would love for you, because you are an expert, this is your subject matter topic expertise, Jesse. Can we help people with the simple things to do to be fit? Like, I had a doctor on today tell me, look, it's really simple. Just breathe 4 times in, hold it for 4 seconds, breathe 4 times out, hold it for a certain, that will change the cortisol immediately. That's a really simple thing to do. Are there some simple things to do that can get people into shape and make them fit?
Yeah, I think the first thing that came to my mind was to not drink your calories. I think it's really easy for someone to think, oh, the food is always the problem. But if you have 2 Coca-Colas a day, that's like 300 calories right there. Boom. And you to work off 300 calories takes 45 minutes of cardio. Like, yeah, it's the reward. If you're like, oh, I'll just do cardio to burn it off. Like, you probably won't do enough. So I'd say don't drink your calories, you know, get diet flavored things, get zero calorie things, or just drink some water, you know, maybe get some Mio or something, you know, just to spice it up a little bit. And I would say the amount of just movement throughout the day to increase can do a drastic change in someone's body. For example, if you're on a call, go for a walk while you take the call. It's mindless cardio, and those things add up to where a lot of people, you know, they might not, especially nowadays after the pandemic, everyone's doing Zoom calls for work now. You know, it's very easy to just be stagnant and just sit in your chair all day and, you know, oh, I don't even have to go out, you know, but instead go take that call or get a walking pad, just get moving a little bit. It doesn't even require much energy. You know, walking is fairly easy for most of us. So I'd say don't drink your calories, get your steps in. And those two things will drastically change someone's caloric intake, which will then lead them getting into a better fitting shape. Obviously, you know, you want to get into working out, lifting and all that stuff. But if there's two things you can change that'll almost not affect your life in any way besides a positive way, it would be don't drink your calories and get your steps in.
I love it.
Love that. You know, I realized, I don't know, a couple of years ago, and it's something that as somebody who's trained for about 20 years pretty casually, I never differentiated between fitness and activity, but they are different. And that fitness is structured. That's, you know, fitness is the next step. It's after you have your basic activity, which what you're talking about, get your walks in, play tennis, do something that you enjoy. That should be a baseline part of all of our lives. And then you get into fitness, the lifting, count, you know, and it gets more specific and it gets more effective. But I think it's just a great bit of advice. I think that a lot of us maybe sometimes get very comfortable being at home, watching Netflix, and that's all fun. That, you know, we should be able to do that. But there are so many times in the day, and I've made plenty of excuses, where we all make excuses thinking we don't have the time. Then we realize, wait a second, I'm on my third episode. So maybe even, you know, go on a treadmill. Sometimes I would watch my TV when I was cutting and I needed to do a lot of cardio. I'd put the iPad on the treadmill and I'd get to watch 45 minutes of a show. And that was kind of my trick to doing what I wanted to do, but then doing the activity that I know was good for me.
Exactly.
As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful, but let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to Quince.com/playbook for a 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, Quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook.
One of the things that always interests me about successful young men is I think back to when I was your guys' age, and I'm like, what did I believe or what did I know? And nutrition is one of the areas. I always say, I can't explain to you guys what it's like to be married. Even if I explained it, you wouldn't believe me. I can't explain to you what it's like to have kids. These are two things you have to experience yourself. It just doesn't, for whatever reason, it doesn't help people by telling you what you think it's like. Mm-hmm. But the other one that I find really interesting is nutrition. I can't tell you how many people told me when I was your guys' age that, you know, when you get older, you're going to have to change your caloric intake. You're going to have to change what you eat, how, no matter what. And I was a kid that, you know, I played college football. I had to eat beef burritos and French fries at midnight just to hold my weight. Like I had the worst 6,000, 7,000 calorie diet just to keep my 147 pound physique where it was at. I was super quick and fast that small, but when they hit me, it really hurt and I went flying. I'm curious, you know, coming from your angle, what are you hearing from old guys like me? I'm turning 57 on January 11th, by the way. I'm 57 years old. I'm sure you have dads, uncles, grandpas that are giving you advice now. What is the thing that they're telling you now that you're like, nah, that's not going to happen to me?
People are always saying, they're like, enjoy your ability to eat sweets now, because when you're older, you can't eat like that. Or like, cause I mean, me and my fiance, I'm 24, she's 27, 28 now.
Be careful.
So like, we still have some years left of having those snacks or having, you know, the extra, you know, sweets and stuff as our desserts. But I feel like my mom and my dad are always like, enjoy that now. I could eat that when I was your age, but either it upsets their stomach or they just, you know, they feel terrible. Like it affects them more negatively than it affects me right now. And in my head, I'm like, nah, I'll always be able to eat this. Like, it's fine.
Well, but there's something to be said about building good habits now, including some cheat meals, and maintaining good habits with your exercise and diet and activity so that you can continue to have some cheat meals when you're older. Mm-hmm. I really don't think that it needs to be all or nothing, like just enjoy it now and overindulge and then later cut back.
Yeah.
I mean, some of my mentors in fitness, aside from you, some of my older friends like Mike O'Hearn, look at Mike. I mean, he's in better shape than most people will ever be. And he's pretty strict, but it's been through consistency, right? He can still have a burrito. His wife, Mona, eats burgers and chips and stuff on the regular, but it's balanced. So While I'm sure it will change, David, and I'm not saying that we're not going to have moments of like, damn it, we got to change it. I've actually, in the past 5 weeks, been working with a nutritionist, and I always knew a little bit about eating and training, but when Jesse came and worked out with his shirt off and made me feel like shit, I decided, you know what? I'm going to go and put on 20 pounds and cut back and do this thing. You think I'm kidding?
No.
But here's the crazy bit I'm learning. First of all, I'm learning, I know so little about it. Nutrition is very specific. Metabolism is very specific. Everybody is going to be a little different. But here's something that happened to me just as an example of, I don't think one rule fits everybody. Mm. I ramped up my calories, predominantly my carbs. I started eating, I'm at about 4,500 calories a day now and growing slowly, but I'm at like 400, 450 grams of carbs. So I'm going very little fat. So after your protein, what left do you have? Carbs and fat. I lost 7 pounds by eating more in the first 5 days.
That's crazy. Mm.
Because my metabolism just said, we need to counteract this. We need to speed up. So then in order to put on weight, like you're talking about when you were younger, now that my metabolism is primed, I have to have even more calories. Mm-hmm. 5 weeks in, I'm barely up 8 pounds and it has fluctuated like this because I'm just reteaching my body how to eat. And even as someone who thought, hey, I knew enough about eating, I ate clean and I worked out hard. Those are such vague terms.
Yeah.
It's a good start for people, but man, eating clean doesn't mean anything. I don't know what that means. You know, working out hard doesn't mean anything because there's nothing to track. So I digress. I'm learning so much about this, but I hope that by learning more, you know, from people like Jesse, from Angelo Poli at MetPro, who I'm working with on, as a nutritionist, I'll be able to maintain this and continue to have my cheat meals. Like, I'm eating pasta right now. I want to always eat some pasta. So I think it just takes a little bit more thought and discipline, and we'll be able to continue to have those cheat meals.
Yeah.
Maybe a little less later, but I'm going to hold on as long as I can.
Yeah. I personally have been learning a lot. Like, even just recently, like, I know a lot. I know a lot. I've been doing it, and I've been obsessed with it forever. But even now, I'm still learning that, you know, you like something that, for example, I used to do is I used to always try to make everything low calorie, high volume. So it'd be like sugar-free syrup on the pancake rather than on a protein pancake rather than a regular pancake with, you know, full sugar syrup. And then I realized I started eating more just like organic whole foods. You know, maybe it's like an organic syrup, or it is real sugar. It has calories. But I almost found that my metabolism started getting like better from eating the real foods rather than all this fake like filler junk.
Yeah.
Even though everyone's, and it's, I mean, I'm falling for marketing almost. They're marketing to me that you can have unlimited this because it's zero calorie or it's five calories, but it's almost like your body operates better on real food. And you know, and now that I'm doing that, my caloric intake actually went up 500 calories right away. Almost like within a month, I was like, oh, I'm losing weight with more food because it's not fake and BS food. And then I keep increasing and increasing. And I feel like I'm the leanest and biggest I've ever been at the same time. And last year when I didn't do this, I was like the same weight, but I was much more like fluffy and not as sharp looking, like, you know, like toned and stuff. So it definitely makes a big difference of what actual nutrition you're putting in your body as well, which is mind blowing. I'm like, why did I not know this? Like it's obvious, but I almost ignored it.
But I think that's the key right there, right? If you just want to weigh a certain amount, then maybe a calorie equals a calorie, right? Because calories in, calories out, that's how much you're going to weigh. But when you start getting into good calories, bioavailable food, real food, right? That's the body composition. So what you're talking about now is you're going to look a different way. And then I think the next step on that is getting organic and all that. And then that's how you're going to feel. So there's kind of three different stages. What do you want to weigh? How do you want to look? How do you want to feel?
Feel. Very good.
Yeah. And I separate it simply that I am healthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? So having high sugar fructose or these false or fake foods. And it seems to be, if you separate things as ease and dis-ease and identifying what's putting the interference or dis-ease into it, including nutrition. All right. As we bring it home, I got to ask you guys, because you're both in the same situation. James knows this about me. My marriage, my wife is the best, not only decision in my life, but it's the best thing in my life. Her relativity to the activity I get paid for, to my family, to my friends, to my health, to my happiness is significant. And I'm, you know, one of the few people out there that I am pro marriage. I pump marriage. I pump finding the person that's perfect for you because I know what it's meant to me in the great times, which have been the majority of my marriage, and really, really, really shitty times, which has been the minority by far, but my basement had a basement. And you got very close to getting married, close enough, I'd say. And I would really like to know your perspective before you get married. What's the number one thing, looking at all the people in your life that are married and divorced, what's the one thing that you're most looking forward to, or you think you're most looking forward to in getting married? And what's the one thing that you most are not looking forward from all the people around you that are married and divorced?
That's a good question. The what am I looking forward to the most? I mean, so I'm getting married in July, which is crazy to say out loud. It's awesome though, because I truly am so grateful. Her name's Claudia. She also does social media and stuff. So we've been together for 3.5 years now, or it's about to be our fourth New Year's Eve. We were like counting it and we're like, wow, that's crazy. And, you know, we have a very healthy relationship. You know, I get to go travel and do my thing when I'm working. And then I come home to a great woman who takes care of our, you know, cats and dogs while I'm away and everything. And I'd say what I'm most looking forward to when the time comes, which will probably be fairly soon after we get married is probably trying to have kids, which is going
to
be awesome. Trying
to have kids is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Having them's completely different.
We practice all the time.
We practice.
I still like trying to have kids. And I've had a vasectomy.
That's hilarious. You got to try extra hard then, pal.
Yeah, I will. You got to put in the overtime. But yeah. I would say, like, we're not rushing at all, but that'll be a very exciting next chapter of our lives. But I think there's two things that I'm looking forward to. One, I think just the era of being husband and wife and enjoying our time as husband and wife, you know, and then eventually, you know, the next part of having a kid at some point is going to be a very exciting thing. I think I'm going to be a very fun dad. So I think that'd be really cool. We're definitely like just taking our time with it. So now when that happens, that'll be a very fun era to dive into. And I honestly think it'll motivate me more. Because I hear, you know, people can always like be like fearful of, like, one of my fears for a while was, you know, I want to have kids, but is that going to, you know, change my goals? Is that going to take away so much where, and not that I'm not going to because of that, I obviously still would, but it was always a thought. And then I was like, honestly, I think it's the other way around. I feel like I'm going to be more motivated because there's like, you know, there's a future to build for this being as well one day. And I'm going to be, you know, it's like go mode to make sure that you're building that for your whole family. So I think that family era is going to be really, really exciting. For the part that I'm not ready for, that's a tough one. I feel like I don't really have a solid answer. You know, I don't know. Maybe James has some thoughts. I don't know, but.
Good pass, man. You're a smart man.
I'll bring it up there. I'll start with something that I don't want to happen. I don't want marriage to change who we are individually.
Nice.
You know, sometimes I look at a young married
couple. You will change individually. You just don't want the marriage to change you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want the marriage to be the defining factor of who we are, right? I don't believe that people are ever only at their best with someone else. In fact, I think that becomes something that is not malleable, which I don't think is healthy. I love having Caitlin. I'm looking forward to this next year, which very well probably include proposal and marriage in the future. And we're already talking about it. So you're not too far off of that, David. But, you know, one big thing that we continue to speak about is we still need to maintain our individuality, even maintain our own businesses. Now we share a lot together and we're building a lot together as well. But as long as we both retain our individuality and a little bit of flexibility and autonomy, I think that's important. But then I want to echo on something I'm very much looking forward to, a similar sentiment to Jesse, which is when I think about having kids, I used to have a very similar fear. And I think to some degree, I still do, which is, man, I have so much to accomplish. Yeah, I've done a lot, but I want to do so much more. Might this get in the way? And the reality is, I think it's going to be the opposite. I think it's going to give me that much more clarity and purpose. Mm-hmm. Who I'm doing this for. Right now it's for me and it's for Caitlin. And I constantly say for like my future family, I'm going to take care of immediate family too. But I can only imagine how much more motivated and excited I'm going to be to put in the hours, to be strategic, to stay on that line and meet my goals and have no excuses. So I echo that. I'm not there today, but I think we'll be there in the next, you know, 2 or 3 years. And I'm truly excited about it.
You guys should be. And I'll give you a little bit of wisdom and foresight, especially, you know, I have 3 daughters and a son. The one thing that I can't prepare you for is something called boyfriends. And it's not good. Charles Barkley gave me the best dating advice as a dad for your daughter's dating. He has 3 daughters like I do. And I'm like, Charles, man, my oldest just started dating. What am I supposed to do? He said, first time that boy comes to the door, shoot him in the leg. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, the word will get out. Nobody will want to date any of your daughters after that. And so there's one piece of advice you can take home.
What's that line from Clueless? I got a shovel and a 45. I doubt anyone will miss you.
That's funny.
I like to say, you're not fooling me. Because some dad said that to me when I was dating his daughter. And then I love the name Claudia. I want to give a big shout out. When I was in law school, I dated this beautiful girl from Colombia named Claudia. She was older than me, and she also was 5'10". So I had to stand on a curb to kiss her, being 5'7". So I'm better suited for my wife.
That's funny.
5'1" makes me feel like I'm Jesse James West, superhero. Anyway, guys, It's New Year's Eve. It's time. James, why don't you let our friend go with a great conclusion. Thanks, Jesse, for joining
us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time, brother. I can't wait to see the content you created over here at my house in Jim Jim, and just look forward to seeing you again. I hope you have the best year yet.
Both the same to you. Appreciate you guys.
Great meeting you, man. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys.
You're awesome. All right, brother, quick takeaways, and then let's get on with our holiday.
Man, it was just so fun to speak about fitness. It's one of my big passions. And, you know, Jesse's really made a career out of it in such a miraculous way. I mean, millions of followers, and he's so charismatic, so humble. And truly, my takeaway is that I wasn't kidding when I said he motivated me that day to push further to excellence, to go from being a generalist to a specialist in something I really, really enjoy. And I think it's fair to say that even this conversation has motivated me to create even a little bit more fitness content on my own this next year. So, Jesse, thank you for that. And I'm excited to share more of what I do every day with my fans this year. How about you?
Yeah, for me, no matter what age you are, it's great when you elevate your awareness that if you're healthy, you get as many wishes as you want. And if you're unhealthy, you only get one wish. And know that there's young people out there doing, you know, I in my 30s, when I started having kids, I started taking for granted my health and putting my family first, you know, putting my finances first, even my faith first. I now put my health first. And if I have one thing I would change in my past, it would have been to continue the discipline that I had towards my health in the fitness. I was in, you know, my 20s, it was a non-negotiable. And then it became negotiable. And when you start making your health negotiable, it gets put to the bottom of the pile, because once you have kids, like you both want to, you know, and you have a choice, should I work out or should I go play with my 4-year-old? You're never going to work out. Now, playing with your 4-year-old can be a workout, but I love, you know, my takeaway that if you're healthy, you get as many wishes as you want. And it's never too early in your life to make your health a priority. And it's great that we have people like you and Jesse that are doing content so that people start establishing those habits and not giving up on them when you have other things in your life that you may love to do more than working out or eating right. But so important to stay. It's not how long you live, it's how many healthy years you have. And, you know, that's what I want for both of you, especially for this next year. Healthy, happy, wealthy, and worthy. I hope you, Jesse, and James, of course, you. I look forward to the other side of this show in 2025. It's going to be unbelievable what we do here. This is proof of it. Thank you, brother.
Well said, man. Much love and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.